I wonder if you ever saw the TED Talk given way back in 2006 by Sir Ken Robinson. In this now classic presentation, Sir Ken convincingly makes the claim that education, as we know it across most of the world, is killing creativity. He points out that for the past few hundred years since industrialization, we've developed a hierarchy of school subjects, with math and science at the top, then the humanities, and then down at the bottom of the list is the arts. And among the arts, singing and dancing are at the very bottom of the league. Sir Ken wonders, if aliens were to land here, watch the ways of the world, what might they conclude about us? It's a really powerful thought experiment. If anthropologists from another world or dimension wanted to know what was most important to us, and they tried to figure that out by watching the way that we live in society, all the ways that we are with one another, the ways we spend our time, the ways we tend to behave, what we do. What might they conclude? What might they say is most important to this civilization, based on what they observe? What might they conclude are our values? Humans are incredible. Despite the best efforts of my ancestors and the destructive historical actions of the Western world, there remains, thankfully, tremendous diversity in the human species. Shapes and sizes, cultures, genders, languages, abilities. Being human truly is amazing. And we are not all created the same. And there is not an ideal human. Instead, the incredible differences between us are one of the ways I believe that humanity fully reflects the glory of God. And creativity, the ability to be creative and the impulse to be creative, is something that sets us apart from all other species. Humans have the creative capacity to be remarkable problem solvers. As a species, we can put our massive brains to work curing diseases or innovating technologies to solve some of society's most pressing issues. That humans are creative and amazing is beyond doubt. The question is, what are the forces that drive human creativity in our society today? What are the forces that allow creativity in some of its forms and expressions, encourage it, whilst clipping it, pruning it, or even shutting it down entirely in others? In his TED Talk, Ken Robinson tells a remarkable story about a world-famous choreographer. Born in the mid-1920s, this woman had a disastrous time at school. It's the mid-1920s. She couldn't sit still. She couldn't stay on top of her homework. She was often disruptive in class. She was a bit of an academic failure. So, of course, they took her to the doctor. After a long session in which she said nothing, but concentrated very hard on sitting still while the two adults in the room talked about her, eventually, the doctor said he and her mother needed to step outside for a private word. Before they left the room, the doctor switched on the radio. When the adults were outside, the doctor said to her mother, "Let's watch." The young girl was up out of her seat and moving to the music. The doctor turned to her mother and said, "Madam, your daughter's not sick. She's a dancer. Send her to a dance school." And the rest of this particular girl's history is, as they say, history. So this family was incredibly lucky to have had the means for a consultation like this and the opportunity to choose between different types of school. Then, as now, this certainly wouldn't have been an option for everyone. And today, as then, succeeding or failing within the system really is the only option for most folks. What's lost to us when we create and maintain such narrow norms of education and definitions of success? So many folks we share this world with will never know fullness of life given their unconventional gifts or talents. Can we honestly say that the education system that props up our societal norms holds space for the flourishing and fullness of life of all people? Is it possible to deny that the world we live in is held together by systems and norms that focus our attention and the efforts of our lives, our purpose even, not on the flourishing of all, but instead on the arbitrary narrow focus of wealth creation and accumulation and the claiming and the wielding of worldly power? The world we've inherited is one in which some have the ability and privilege to succeed, and most will struggle to survive. And most will never have the opportunity to live fully into the God-given personhood within them that's longing to be given life and expressed. I think Ken Robinson, in his TED talk, is right, and that it is a great tragedy that most of us are tidied up when we're children. That in school, most of us are slowly weaned off our impulse to sing and dance. If you're not thought to have enough talent, or talent that's so defined that it can likely be monetized for scholarship dollars in college, or put to use as a livelihood, chances are that by middle school even, there's little by the way of encouragement or nurture of the human impulse to get up and dance, right? Or lift up our voices and sing together. And yet it seems from scripture that to sing and to move our bodies is a primary and insuppressible response to the great presence of God, a base and instinctual, impulsive expression of worship, and something that pulls us into community or union with the rest of the cosmos. If we take from scripture that the purpose of human life is to glorify God, to be an expression of God's love and presence in the world, to care for one another and all creation, then singing especially would take a real and central role in the lives of most of us rather than only in the lives of a few. Today, the psalmist says in our reading, "Sing to the Lord, you servants of his." In our reading from the Revelation to John, we hear one of the many references to the myriads and thousands of those surrounding the throne of God, singing with full voice, and every creature in heaven and on the earth singing together. And every week we gather around this table and praise God, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing to proclaim the glory of God's name. Holy, 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 we sing. God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of God's glory. Hosanna in the highest. And so, what of the visitors of our thought experiment? These anthropologists from another place trying to figure out who we are and what we value by what we do. This isn't what they'd observe. Arguably, they would see the opposite. Ken Robinson brings his TED talk somewhat to a close by sharing a quote. It's not his, but he shares this quote. "If insects were eliminated from this planet, all forms of life would collapse within 50 years. If human beings were eliminated from this planet, all forms of life would flourish." Singing won't directly solve all the world's problems, but it is a shared, universal human trait across cultures through history. Singing can bring us together, as any sports fans in the space can attest. There's evidence that singing can bridge ideological and cultural divides. It can break the ice between strangers. Singing releases endorphins, oxytocin, chemical compounds that support feelings of wellness and feelings of love and connection. We are arguably created for this. To live fully together, to flourish together, and to sing and to dance together in our joy and in our griefs, in union with the whole rest of creation and in response to our living Creator God. The good news of God in Christ is that creation is for life, and for all to have life, for all to have life in abundance. And church is one way for us to make sure there is always a space and a place where our singing voices, our creativity in all its forms, can lead us into all truth, set us free from the narrow limits of societal habit and convention, and bring us home to our true purpose together. Amen.